Every business faces challenges. Whether you need more space, a better location, or a little more curb appeal, a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, can help you find the right place to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm J.R. Whalen with Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. You've heard the phrase, high seas raise all boats. Well, that seems to be the case with digital currencies. While Bitcoin's value has skyrocketed more than 1,600% this year, some other digital currencies have also seen meteoric rises. And Wall Street Journal cryptocurrency reporter Paul Vigna joins us to discuss. So, Paul, in your story in the Wall Street Journal, you write about so-called altcoins, alternative versions of Bitcoin, and many of them are the beneficiary of simply looking like Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think the thing you have to keep in mind with Bitcoin is that this is basically free software. Anybody can come along, take Bitcoin software, rework it to add whatever features, bells and whistles they want, and release their own version of Bitcoin. And there are probably there's well north of 1,000 of these right now. Most of them...
1,000 versions?
Yeah. Most of them have absolutely no chance of ever becoming a legitimate currency. They are either poorly planned out, you know, slapdash versions, or they're just flat-out pump-and-dump schemes sometimes. But some of them are actual thought-out alternatives to Bitcoin with their own big group of developers and their own group of traders and businesses that are trying to come up with a better Bitcoin. And there's probably about a half dozen of them that have a legitimate chance of becoming a real thing. And another, you know, maybe 10 or so that, you know, have their own small... These are almost like... I don't want to say cult because that sounds like a bad word. But they're like clubs. How about that? But that's a better way to put it. And what has happened this year is because Bitcoin, the main one, and Ethereum, the kind of the second most important rival, have done so well, there is so much new money and new wealth being created that a lot of people are simply buying up these other ones on the chance that, hey, who knows, maybe one of these will become the next, you know, moonshot crazy rocket ride.
So among some of those alternatives that you mentioned, Ethereum, some others that are being tossed around, Litecoin, Coinbase, mm-hmm. What can you tell us about their likelihood to rise as Bitcoin has? What can you tell us about them in general?
Right. Well, so Coinbase is a company and they run an exchange. Litecoin was the first sort of major altcoin. That's what they call them. They call them altcoins. So Litecoin was the first one that came around. It came out in 2011. And it's a very close version of Bitcoin with a couple of features changed to make it a little bit faster and cheaper. And it has a group of developers that have been working on it. It's a legitimate altcoin as far as altcoins go. Has never really kind of gotten the attention that Bitcoin has gotten. Ethereum has gotten a lot of attention. Ethereum has kind of been the really big hyped so-called better Bitcoin. That's been around for a couple of years, but has a large group of developers working on it. That is a version of Bitcoin that it's changed pretty drastically. If you think of Bitcoin as a network, that network's goal is for the exchange of value between two people, between you and me. So that's what it is built for. Bitcoin is literally built to allow people to just make this transfer of value between each other.
When we talk about Bitcoin, we always talk about this notorious volatility. What's the danger of investors putting their money behind one of these other cryptocurrency altcoin alternatives and hoping they do as well as Bitcoin has?
The danger is high. The risk is real. I mean, you have to keep in mind two things about these markets. One, they are very small. Compared to any traditional market that you're used to, especially traditional U.S. markets like the stock market or the bond market or even the commodities markets, these are very small markets. That's why they're so volatile. These are small markets. They're relatively illiquid markets. The other thing you have to keep in mind is these are all experiments. These are live social experiments in trying to come up with a currency that does not need a government to back it.
So there's no SEC, FDIC that is going to swoop in and help you if something goes wrong?
No, there's no deposit insurance in Bitcoin.
Okay.
And there's no, I mean, look, if you're an investor and you put your money, if you put your money into a specific project, and some of these altcoins have been created by companies, and you can, you know, allege fraud, maybe you can make a legal case against that, you know. But if you're investing in Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, you are taking a 100% unhedged risk that these things are going to go to zero.
We're speaking with the Wall Street Journal's Paul Venia about cyber currencies other than Bitcoin, and Bitcoin also, and how Bitcoin has helped the value of other altcoins, and you're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
You've heard it a million times. Location, location, location. Well, that's because location's important, and it's the reason this ad, targeted at you, isn't located before a podcast about the history of ice dancing. If you own a business, you know the importance of location, which is why you need a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, a real estate expert who can help you find the perfect location to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
Welcome back, everybody. So, Paul, just to frame the numbers here, as you point out in your story, the universe of cryptocurrencies has a total market value of about $600 billion, and Bitcoin clocks in at about $323 billion of that. Why is it that Bitcoin has soared to such great heights and others are really pulling up the rear?
The main reason is because Bitcoin has been around the longest and Bitcoin has the largest industry and community behind it. It's a network effect kind of thing. You have a lot of businesses that are trying to build on top of Bitcoin. You have a lot of traders. You have a lot of interest. I mean, it's literally just the network effect of Bitcoin being around the longest and having the largest community and industry behind it. That's really it. In percentage terms this year, Ethereum is up more. And I think Litecoin actually at this point is up more. So some of these, they're starting from a lower base. Their percentage gains are higher, but the dollar totals for Bitcoin are obviously just much higher just because Bitcoin is the main digital currency.
If you go to a retailer and they say, we take Bitcoin, there's a Bitcoin logo in the window alongside credit cards and such, does that indicate they take Bitcoin or they would take any kind of cryptocurrency?
They probably take just Bitcoin. You know, every single one has its own network. Every single one has its own kind of online accounts. That particular retailer would decide they wanted to accept Bitcoin and they would download the software to make that possible.
Has the rise in Bitcoin and the subsequent altcoins done anything to improve legitimacy and trust in them, or has it had the opposite effect?
I think when you talk about legitimacy and trust, I think the whole sector is gaining that. And I think what's happening with Bitcoin is kind of extending, you know, it's almost like an umbrella coming over these other ones. It's making people, look, the longer these things stick around, the more people learn about them, the more people get comfortable with the idea of digital money, the more that they're willing to take a flyer on some of these. So I think as Bitcoin does better, you have people more willing to look at these. But again, I have to stress, they all are experiments, and they all are products that are still being built. And Bitcoin has problems right now. There is a tremendous amount of congestion on the network because there is a limited capacity for transactions to pass through it. And that is leading to bottlenecks in settlement times. It's leading to high fees, user fees, which are, you know, they can be $20, they can be $40 for a single transaction. Bitcoin is very hard to use right now.
Yeah, and this is all still the Wild West of currencies. And there's still the question of overall cybersecurity in this whole area. And we see what happened in South Korea this week.
You're dealing with companies that are all of them really are startups.
And that was a whole exchange that just collapsed?
Yeah, it was an exchange that got hacked. I mean, it got hacked and they shut down. It was their second hack in a year. They had assets on their accounts in their own servers. Servers got hacked. The money's gone. That's it. I mean, that happens. Like, you have to be aware of that.
Wow. And like you said, there's no FDIC behind it. There's no insurance behind
it. No. If it's gone, it's gone. It's gone forever. So, yeah, cybersecurity. Look, cybersecurity is a big issue everywhere. The difference is that, like you say, if your bank, if JP Morgan's if JP Morgan gets hacked, your money's not going to disappear. They're going to make you whole. They can reverse those transactions. It's just, you know, it's just an account on a ledger that they control. The difference is no one controls the ledger on Bitcoin. So if that account gets moved, it is gone forever.
We have been speaking with the Wall Street Journal's cryptocurrency reporter, Paul Vigna. Paul, thank you as always.
Yeah, I'm always happy to come on with you guys.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli with J.R. Whalen in New York.
Is Alexa part of your life? Then make Your Money Matters part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.